Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
We're just meandering our way up Lewes Hill, a bit over halfway around the Hope Valley Round, having a lovely day out, started by torrential rain in Haverford.
Well, we did stay in the car because it was a little bit wet.
A little bit wet, yeah. But it has thankfully cleared up and it's now a glorious day, kind of. But we've not been rained on, really.
No, it isn't as windy as I thought, so yeah. No, it's super lovely.
But as requested, we are going to do a bit of munching on the moors before we... Oh. Actually, we might top out onto Lewes Hill and it might get really windy, but we'll see how this goes.
But that will be counteracted by the fact that we won't be as breathless anymore, yeah. So...
What have you got in your lunchbox, Jamie?
Well, Rachel, I've gone for a bit of a last-minute approach to this run today, and I think if it was a race, it would be all gels, but it's not a race. It's a lovely day out with Rachel. So I've gone for... couple of emergency gels for when I die at the end and Rachel hasn't, but more importantly I've gone for a Paddington sandwich, very middle class Paddington sandwich, which is a marmalade sandwich of course, but made with delicious Kringle and Bent's Green sourdough bread. What? And I think we're going to eat that in a minute going downhill, aren't we?
Delicious.
Yes,
I think I'm going to have a bit of food envy there. So what have I got? I've got a gel. I don't like gels, so that probably won't get touched. But I thought I should have a gel because that feels a sensible thing to do. Very old sweets in the back of our cupboard, which before, but I thought that's what I'm going to do.
Every day.
That's the top of Lewes Hill. And we're just passing there and we're heading down now. We're going to crack into those and see if that helps us around.
But at the end, we're definitely going to have something tasty
and delicious.
And delicious.
At Outside Cafe.
And obviously, not a treat because you don't have to earn your cake, do you?
No, you do not have to earn your cake.
You can have cake whenever you want, but this will be extra special because it'll be at the end of the room.
So we've been discussing what we're going to have. We haven't quite confirmed yet.
A pint of coffee with something to eat.
Something delicious. We'll see how we do. And we're very much taking it leisurely and having a good time, aren't we?
You say taking it leisurely. Rachel's taking it leisurely because I'm running at old lady pace today. We're going to argue about this, but anyway.
So far from true.
No, it's not.
Anyway, have a good day, Charlie.
Yes, see you soon.
Bye.
This is a podcast. We talk about running. We talk about other things too. So please come and join us. We hope you enjoy this. This is On the Back Foot.
Hello, On the Back Foot listeners. It's been a little while since the lovely episode with Jacob Tonkin and Bobby Gard's story. I've been a busy little bee, getting ready for moving house and the BG, so I'm sure you love these little life updates. That one was free of charge, and it's taken me a little bit of time to put this episode together, but it's coming. We've got a lovely weekend of sunshine from the looks of things just outside of Kendal here, and I'm looking to enjoy some more recceing of the bob. We got a bit of reviewing of the intercounties, got Fran Blackett having a bit of an adventure, and we're just checking in to see how you all are this week, beginning with On the Bobfoot. So the totals, It was a recovery week, so I ran for 5 hours and 50 minutes, covering a total of 31.7 miles, rounded, not exact, climbing 8,655 feet. For those who love the metric, 2,638 meters. Garmin says I slept an average of 7 hours and 13 minutes, which is about bang average for Charles. We shall see if that changes in the future. But fear not, I won't be talking you through my training diary at that point in my life. So, the week began on Monday, as it always does. I slept really well. Had some nice patience. Had some sandwiches. I was very hungry that day. But how I've documented that doesn't really, you know, give me much more information. I don't know whether I ate a lot. Looks like I did, because I enjoyed some fish, gnocchi, ginger, garlic and vegetables for my dinner. And I had a rest that day. Tuesday came and I was up before 6 a.m. Not deliberately. I finished the podcast and put it out on the airwaves, pleased with my work, and I went for a run and listened to it, because I'd put it out without doing any quality control. And I very much enjoyed it. I ran for an hour and 42 minutes. Later on that evening, I went to the gymnasium where I lifted bits of metal and put them back down again. I even interacted with a small wooden box. Not through conversation, just getting up and down off it. Had a stir fry for my dinner. And you know, I'd had porridge for breakfast. Oh, I must work on that. I have an Audacity file. It's the master file. It must be worth millions of how I put these episodes together, but sometimes I forget to mute things, so occasionally I'll be recording and you'll hear the intro to everybody's tonking or something like that. Where was I? Porridge for breakfast again, and on to Wednesday. Well, it's a lovely day, is Wednesday. It's always been one of my favourites of the days, and I took my Volkswagen to a Volkswagen man. Actually, he works on all camper vans. And he fitted my diesel heater, which was lovely of him. I did pay him, but really has made things warmer. I probably had porridge, but I didn't write it down. And I did a 92-minute run home from the garage. I was feeling very pleased with myself. I was going to make the garage on time. I never make it on time. And just as I got there, I realised I'd left the diesel heater at home. So the whole day ended up being half an hour behind and most stressful, because I like to get stressed over small matters. That's the kind of person I am. And I got out on my bike. That was nice. Little bike to see my patients, and little bike home to get the van. All into headwind. So I did an hour's cycling to go with my running there. And I had pasta for tea and watched Danny Dyer on Channel 4. On Thursday, it was the day of the uphill treadmill. It was a lovely day, so I was indoors. And I was on there for 61 minutes doing 3 lots of 10 minutes at threshold effort. Uphill treadmill, you ask. What do you do on that, Charles? Well, I point it to the sky, which is 15 degrees. 15, not the temperature, but 15%, that's what I mean. And I was working my way up through the speeds and having a nice run on there. And I kept cranking it up and felt like it was a really good session. I went to Bartholomew Shores for dinner and played with trains with his daughter and had a nice chat with Rach too. So that was grand. What a day. Friday, I was at the gymnasium again. I treated myself to a little 20 minutes on the... I mean, I'm not doing product placement here, but if I was a millionaire, I'd have a Woodway treadmill. They're bloody lovely. I did 20 minutes on that, very gently. And I picked up some bits of metal and put them back down again. I went to see a film called Swede Caroline at the cinema and cooked myself duck and plum sauce for tea. Saturday I was working again. I actually managed to do a bit of work on every day this week, which is quite impressive for a lazy git like me. And I was at an event called the Peak Divide. The Peak Divide is an organised run from, it's not a race, from Manchester to Sheffield, and they stop overnight in Edale. And we were providing sports massage. When I say we, I had a couple of friends help out. And we were working quite hard from about 4 p.m. till 10 at night. But they did feed us, which, as you know, is important to your ears as it is to my belly. So I had a bit of bruschetta, and I also had a chilli. And I'd had a chilli for lunch because I'd had a lovely chilli jacket potato. So as you can see, you're learning so much here. Oh, I'm being rang. I'll have to take a break. Sorry about that. So on Saturday morning, I went for a run with Sheffield Half Marathon winner and star of Ryanair punch-ups, Abby Pearce. Daniel was off into countying, and we caught up and went for a run around Edale, and Abby called me an influencer, and she was right. Well, she wasn't. I don't think I've got any influence. But yeah, maybe that's what I was starting to become. I'd taken a photo of something that had amused me in a Chinese supermarket, which was special office instead of special offer on some dried pineapples. And I'd never tried dried pineapples before. And I thought to myself, well, I'll take them on a run, munching on the moors. And then I thought, wouldn't it be great to get Abby back on the podcast and do munching on the moors? And then I realised that I was exploiting the opportunity of just going for a nice run with a friend to make content for my podcast. And I felt like a piece of shit. I mean, you could say that's a strong reaction. But it was, you know, it wasn't a good feeling, because I was like, yeah, I don't want people to feel that their interactions with me are just to provide content for a podcast audience. I didn't record Abby enjoying the pineapple, which she did. And then I did turn it into a little weird little segment now. And I did exploit the situation for my podcast to talk about the perils of becoming an influencer. I don't think I'm an influencer, like I say. But I am not sure that I want to turn my life into art. What even am I saying? So anyway, Sunday, I went and had another rest day, two for the week, and I hiked around up the Ringing Roger, and I saw the Peak Divide group coming up like an army with their flags and their bright trail running clothing, and they looked like they were having a great time. I took a few photos of them with the lovely backdrop of Mam Tor, and I failed to upload them to a Google Drive because it seems too complicated. And that rounded the week off very nicely. I had some chocolate milk in my porridge that morning. What more could you want? So, what have I learned from this week? Well, I've learned that I'm an idiot, and I enjoy recovery weeks. I think I worked a lot more that week, and I think had my running volume not dropped, I think it could have taken a lot out of me. I also have loved that these, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I do find these uphill treadmills have been a really nice way for me to do a bit more effort, heart and lung wise, without taking it out of my legs when the mileage and elevation and time on feet has been, it's been up for me. So, yep, I wouldn't have thought of doing that. And that's great from Billy O. Cartwrightio. So cheers, mate. If you've been affected by anything talked about on today's On the Bobfoot, please do contact onthebackfoot@gmail.com.
I've packed my lunchbox. What's in yours? Tell me what you like or don't like when you're munching on the moors.
Good morning. This is a beautiful day. I'm here, not quite on the moors, but in some woodlands near betwixt moors. It is one of a few nice days in the last 2 weeks of gopping weather that we have had, I guess, nationally, but certainly in Sheffield area. Little fluffy clouds, beautiful skies. You might see that in the desert sometimes, but we've got it in a Peak District today. And I am here to bring you a special long-awaited Munching on the Moors. I thought that this was going to be like an ultimate test in structural integrity. However, I've been thinking, my structural integrity has been thinking about the food itself, but I've come to realise it seems to have been more an exercise in me overcoming the constraints of certain food. So, for instance, this was going to be a killer deal, I thought. But it's a wrap, as you know, in nature's own, food's own wrapping. Wrapped up very well in a beeswax wrapping. I'm going to pause this. So, oh, this hasn't worked in a way it has. It's created separate voice notes rather than pausing it, but I think that's me trying to embrace old new technology. Anyway, so I have this wrap, wrapped in a beeswax wrap, wrapped in a self-sealing plastic bag. So the wrap wraps up in the beeswax wrap, and you can fold it up, and I think first time round it probably works quite well. So here we come for the big reveal. I'm not sure, this used to be a thing on YouTube, unwraps. This is me. So, oh, it's survived quite well indeed, being an M&S protein wrap. Not protein deliberately, I think that's just because my wife couldn't be bothered to go into Aldi, and these are the first things she picked up. So it's pea protein in the wrap, makes it 10 gram per wrap apparently. There's a story here, don't want to bore you, but I will. So, amongst other things, Donnie was saying you don't want your wholemeal wraps when you're running. True. So this is white, but it's got protein. However, protein is said to be for recovery, but I feel a bit knackered. So I'm recovering while I'm running. It might play havoc with my guts, but that's what we're here for. So this is a long overdue nomination to Josh Williams, who many years ago, on an equally sunny weekend, we went to Recce Langdale. This, we're talking about 7, maybe 8 years ago. We had, we did the Old Shire Stones. I can't, I'm bloody crap the names. Don't do my races enough. The one that goes from Little Langdale. Anyway, we raced that, then went to Langdale, and he introduced me, I've never had it, so it's not really an introduction, a baked bean wrap. So what have we got? A wrap with baked beans in. And I thought this was going to be a complete catastrophe and make a right mess. But we shall see later on. So first of all, I've adapted the recipe like I do always, and I've had to layer a spread of brown sauce within the wrap. That is to help the wrap stay together, but also give beans a bit of a flavour. I did put beans into a sieve first to try to get any excess juice out so it didn't turn complete mush. But surprisingly, little bean juice came through the sieve. So here we go. Do you know what? Tastes just like cold baked beans. Just like cold baked beans. Who knew, eh? And so I don't know what it's going to do for my energy levels. I don't think it's going to be quite as good as the banana, peanut butter and jam wrap. But I reckon that's quite good. Now, in the name of science, and no, actually, I don't think it's science. Well, it is science. More physics. I'm going to eat half of this, wrap it up, and let's see if it... well, I expect it'll remain intact, but I can't wait for findings of the next unwrapping. I have packed a number of gels in case this all went wrong and I was licking this wrap off the inside of the beeswax wrap. Top tip, yeah? Don't wash your beeswax wrap in hot water with washing up liquid, because it tends to turn it into, when it dries out, it turns into a powdery kind of tracing papery sort of thing. So don't do that. Just cold water, folks. Play it safe. Speak to you later. Bye.
Well, this is great stuff. I particularly enjoyed the planes flying overhead. There's something about hearing you wrap or unwrap your wraps that is quite enjoyable, as well as listening to a man eat on a podcast. The worst bit about me saying this is that this sounds in jest. It's genuinely true. I really enjoy this.
Hi again, it's me for update on baked bean wrap. Yeah, it's all right. Can't complain. It survived okay. Lost a few beans in the wrap, but slurped them off, which is fine. I had a real lot. So, couple of insights from today's run, which will probably come as no surprise to most people who know what they're doing. So I'm feeling quite tired today because this is the first time in a long time that I've been able to do a relatively big mileage week, and I'm feeling a bit tired. And I know that is because I haven't been eating enough in the week, basically. So newsflash, it's not what you're eating on the day of your run. It's probably what you're eating in, I guess, 3 days beforehand, and how good your recovery is and how much other activity you're doing. So I was feeling pretty drained by Thursday evening. Friday, yesterday, it was a rest day. Didn't eat loads. And today, yeah, I'm feeling a bit tired. So there's your lesson. Another insight is the structural integrity fang. It's been a bit one-dimensional. A couple of extra parameters I'd like to throw in are, how well will the item survive if you drop it on the floor by accident? And can you pick it up, or is it just a splattered mess everywhere? I think on that count, the wraps are probably quite low, especially the baked bean one, because the beans don't hold themselves together and they'll just fly everywhere. Which, if you're, depending on where you drop it, you might be okay. You might get a bit of extra fibre or iron off the soil, a bit of extra substrate. Or a bit of dog wee, or human wee even. So, yeah, on that count, the gap's low. Another parameter on the structural integrity has to be, how well does it hold in your mouth whilst you are tying your shoelaces, taking a compass bearing, and so on. Again, the gap's probably okay, but It tends to create a lot of saliva backlog, which kind of juices around the edge, and it makes you worry that it'll end up snapping off in your mouth. So you'll have a bit of soggy bit in your mouth and then a bit on the floor. That combined with the impact resistance of said wrap and it exploding everywhere, a bit like an explosion in a spaghetti factory, I would put it quite low on that factor. This is getting incredibly complicated. So there.
All important points. Well, keep it coming.
Anyway, injury update. So, I've had this long-standing problem with my ankle where I've got tendonitis, I think, self-diagnosed, on the inside of my ankle. So, it felt like the foot arch was collapsing in on itself, possibly due to a weakness or long runs in shoes that weren't supportive enough. So, tried strengthening it, and then on your advice, used some inner soles that I already had that gave my arch more support. So that seems to be working. So it's not an overnight trick, but it seems to be doing the job. Anyway, against my bitter knowledge, I put these insoles into a pair of Hoka Speed Goats, which I was running in because I ran off on a trail, nice, easy, firm trail in my Hoka running shoes, and I was like, wow, my arch doesn't hurt at all. What I need is some off-road version of Hokas. Now, so the insoles are supporting my arch and kind of feels like they're pushing my foot in an outward direction because it feels like my foot naturally wants to go inwards and thus stretches the arch and makes it uncomfortable. So I've got these Hokas, which are quite tall, very big stack height, combined with inner soles that I'm not used to. Oh, there's a nice bird. Well, not very nice. It's just a pair of wings and then carcass. Obviously, the wing feathers were deemed not tasty enough. That is not suitable munching on the Moors material. Let me take a snap. So, yep, back to the story. So tall stack trail running shoes with inner soles that I'm not used to that are kind of pushing my or supporting my foot in the opposite direction to what it naturally wants to go to. Running along, and I rolled my ankle somewhat horrifically. So I have tendonitis on the inside of my ankle, which is getting better, but then a sprain on the outside of my ankle. So between the two, I have a knackered ankle, but in a straight line, it's okay. I've been running a bit of a distance today. It's a bit of a test. I've got a long race in a month's time, which seemed like a good idea at the time, but now I'm thinking, shall I, shan't I? So yeah, there you go. Eat well. Don't hurt your ankles. See you later. Bye. Hello. Just a disclaimer on today's meal or snack, whatever you want to call it. When Josh introduced me to the baked bean wrap, it was in no means a suggestion of something that would be good for eating when you're running. It was a cheap, readily available, nourishing post-race snack, especially when camping. The inspiration for having it as a food to eat on the run was purely comical. It was about making a mess in your pack and seeing what happens. Basically, I wouldn't recommend it as a running food. Perhaps a hiking food, and again, as originally suggested by Josh, a post-run, I'm hungry, what can I get from a shop quickly sort of scram. So yeah, post-race food, maybe hiking, but not running. Anyway, I've also got other things to come, so I'll hold on to your anticipation, getting ready for my next installment, which may be an unpredictable amount of time away. Goodbye. Good morning. Can you just stick an addendum on those messages? When I said parameter, I actually meant criteria. I wouldn't like to sound like someone who's making it up as I go along. Bye.
Thank you, Will. You are a fantastic, fantastic person. Now, a little while ago, I asked for racing tips and we were treated to Andy Blackett sing his own theme tune. And I even heard from another runner called Sarah Jacobs from Airy Running Club.
Sarah Jacobs of Airy Harriers, 58 years old and from Chester in Cheshire in the northwest of England. I guess my preparation for any fell race starts 3 to 4 days beforehand. The nerves start, the excitement starts. I tend to go through in my mind what time I'm going to wake up on the day, what I'm going to have for breakfast. This has to be timed at least 2 to 3 hours before the start of the race, as I tend, like a lot of other runners, to get digestive problems if I'm running for over an hour to an hour and a half. I also try to look at the race route, where it starts, where the elevation is, where the steep downhill bits are, how much road, how much track. This is because I'm not a great runner and I do struggle at the back end of the field. But if I know what's coming up, I know when to push, I know when to slow down and even when to walk on the very steepest bits of the race. So I think mental preparation is really important. And route preparation is important regardless of how good a runner you may be or what position you may want to finish. Clothes wise, if possible, I do prefer to wear shorts for a race. I just find it gives a sense of freedom. I am also one of those runners and race goers who tend to wear a backpack, a very small 8-litre OMM pack. This will tend to have a waterproof top in, even if it's not required on the day. I also have bandages, an emergency bag, gloves and hats, simply because in the past I have run alone and on occasions become a cropper, either twisting my ankle or hit weather that wasn't predicted. And I feel the marshals on the course are there not so much to look after you, but just to make sure you're going on the right route. And if an emergency does occur, to assist you in the right direction. But really, all fell runners who are participating in races should look after their own welfare and should have all the necessary equipment. If injury occurs or they don't feel well or they have to pull out of the race, it's really down to the responsibility of the individual runner. After all said and done, although I tend to come at the back of the field, I immensely enjoy the races. I love the camaraderie, the characters, and I think when local clubs put on races, you tend to see vantage points and routes that you would never find as an outsider. And over the years, I actually enjoy finding vantage points and top of hills that are not really known to the general public. I find they're quiet and there's a kind of solace reaching a point where you never even knew existed. It's quite exciting and it's really nice to look back on. So yes, for me, racing is a way of letting off steam, is personal achievement, is the outdoors, and just the whole emotions of running a route that you were a little bit frightened of to start. But once you pass the finish line, since the feeling is sensational, of gratitude to be alive. And for me, the high remains for 3 to 4 days after, until the next race, the week or week or two after. So hope this assists to my view on racing. It's a wonderful sport, and I'm very lucky to be able to do it. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Sarah. Some great points there, especially the one about going to different races and vantage points that you see that you probably wouldn't have seen, which really links nicely into the next person's description of a recent race they had.
Hello, On the Back Foot listeners. It's Fran Blackett of Run Like a Haggis alongside
Andy Blackett. Well known for racing tips with Andy Blackett.
It's Friday night. We're in the car again. On the A66 this time, heading west. Heading to Askham, which at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning will be the start line for the NAV4 organised Lakes Mountain 40. 40 miles over the Lake District Fells of Loadpot, High Street, Helvellyn, Place Fell. Yeah. Where am I going with this? I was going to go in two directions. One of the race tactics. Been trying not to talk about it too much this week because I've got major race demons, and I've spent all week keeping them locked tightly in their box, so I've not let Andy talk about it really. He tried to talk to me about route choice on Tuesday and shut that conversation down. Anyway, we're allowed to talk about it today. Race tactics.
I've been fell running for what, 10, 15 years now, and famously, I think I probably normally go off what some people would think was too hard. And Fran's now a qualified coach, aren't you, Fran?
Oh yeah. Last Sunday, I became England Athletics qualified running coach. So yep, not only navigation tips here, but coaching tips also available.
Anyway, Fran pointed out that my watch could tell me what my suggested heart rate was for a long run, and So I had a training run at suggested heart rate, and I found it really boring. So I think I've realised that why on these long runs I set off too fast, because otherwise it's just like I'm running along thinking, well, I can do this. That's not fun. So my race tactic tomorrow is either going to be sensible and set off at a heart rate that my watch tells me I can do for 8 or 10 hours, or to just, you know, set off as hard as I can for as long as I can and see what happens, but generally that doesn't end up well. But in the back of my head, maybe it is still okay. Maybe it means because you've got so much in the tank early on that the wheels can fall off and you can still have a decent finish. So in summary, I'm probably going to be silly tomorrow. Probably going to go off too fast. It'll probably all fall apart, and I'll probably sit on a rock at some point and shed a tear.
This is my hope. So the only thing, one of the main things that will be keeping me going, will be thinking maybe around the next corner.
Your husband will be crying on a rock.
I will find my husband in tears on a rock, and I will bid him good day. I'll check he's all right. And then bid him good day. The final hours of my race, we'll be thinking maybe I'll find a broken Andy. Our race tactic discussion led Andy to reminisce about a conversation that we had after Kong Mini, the 4-hour like navigation events that used to be on. We used to do loads of those, and after the race, I'd been having a really good think, like, thought of loads of things, came to Andy like with a massive to-do list of like things that we should do, or and Andy just looked at me.
I think I remember saying, Fran, I haven't had a single off-task thought for the last 4 hours. I've either been thinking about where I'm going, thinking about how sick I feel, thinking about if I can keep this pace going, thinking about eating something, thinking about how painful my legs are. Just doing a lot of thinking about running as fast as I could, but that seems to be different on that side.
So, yes, it's possible that I don't race hard enough. This could be it. So, yeah, so we were chatting and Andy asked if I was taking my phone tomorrow. And, I think I might. Because I said, well, I might, want my headphones in. Like, I don't normally listen to music when I'm in the mountains. But I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll be bored. And he just looked at me and was like, if you're bored, maybe you should try running harder. So maybe I'll try running harder tomorrow. We'll see. Maybe Andy will go out hard. Maybe he'll set off at a reasonable heart rate. And maybe...
Well, I'd get bored.
Maybe when I'm feeling bored, I'll try running a bit harder. We'll see.
What a lovely pair. Congratulations, Fran, on your coaching award. Will you find Andy sat crying on a rock? Will you race as hard as you think you should? How will this long race go? Well, here are 20 minutes of unedited Fran lost in the hills. I don't actually think she was ever lost, which is good, because she teaches navigation. So that's Run Like a Haggis, a little plug there. This is like a stream of her conscious as she was out enjoying this race. That might be why it's a longish segment, but I hope you all enjoy Uncut Fran Blackett Racing.
Morning, Charlie.
Morning, Charlie. Morning, Charlie.
It's 5:52 a.m. Gotta whisper so we don't wake up the residents of Ascot. Sun's rising. And we're about to go and run 40 miles, 4-0. Weather forecast is Bob on.
Hello. Nothing much to add. Sorry, Charlie.
Let's go do this. Hey, Charlie. Just approaching first checkpoint, Loadpot Hill. It is the most incredible weather day. Not a breath of wind. Clear skies. Views. Wowzers. I'll say this now, in case a bit later on I've forgotten, but this is an absolute privilege. What a joy. I think I'm last, but I'm okay with that. I, unlike Andy, I'm trying to keep the heart rate reasonable because, well, that's my watch telling me to eat something. Because I don't know if I can do this. So, yeah, if I go out hard, I'm definitely not doing it. Not getting it done. So, I'm trying to keep those demons in their box. There are 7 people just ahead of me. It's not like I'm way last. There's a yellow coat. Maybe 100 metres ahead. I'm just going to keep them there. I'm not interested in catching them up. Anyway, Loadpot Hill coming up. Hey, Charlie. Just on the climb to checkpoint 2.
High Street. Cheeky little out and back. I am still just behind Yellowcoat. Just maybe 150, 200 metres. We took a slightly different line after Weatherhill. So I had an exciting 5 to 10 minutes. I wondered whether my line had given me the advantage. Turns out there probably wasn't much of it, because he popped back up about 150 metres ahead. I've just had the most beautiful view of Haweswater, a view I've never had before, so I always enjoy that little new perspective on a little Lake District location. I've been up here before, Wainwright back in, but I believe the weather was suboptimal, so it's nice to be able to see High Street checkpoint 2. Still on High Street. It's all happening here at the back of the race because the yellow jacket has just overtaken green backpack. Newsflash. Hey Charlie, heading down to Angleton for checkpoint 3. It's going to be in person at this one, so that's quite exciting. Yeah. Angleton, always a joy. Always a joyous place. And today is no different. I've got the boys up here. Their first wild camp last May. It was a glorious day like today. They walked themselves up, which was pretty cool. And I was sharing a tent with our youngest. He was 5. Time. He's a little overwhelmed by the situation, by the sleeping in the mountains situation. And he got up and, well, we didn't sleep much, not gonna lie. At one point he got up for a wee and he stepped outside the tent and he just looked up and just, yeah, it was amazing. Sky full of stars. And he just looked up. Said, "Mummy, it's just so beautiful. Oh God, I made it all worthwhile. It was amazing. It was such a gorgeous moment." And then we crawled back into the tent together. I think he slept a little better after that. Anyway, Angleton. Hey Charlie, now in the valley floor. Heading to checkpoint 4. That's a day. Then Grisdale Tarn. Hello Charlie. And on the back foot listeners, of course. Now en route to the next checkpoint at Grisdale Tarn. Bit of a long old flattish slightly uphill drag up the coast to coast route. Not a track that I've ever run on before. In fact, the whole thing's been on a path today. Quite the novelty. I don't really enter sort of mass start on the gun go races, mainly because I'm pretty slow, and I just find the whole thing quite stressful. This race is great though, super low key. I am all alone, so like substituting these voice notes as chatter, I suppose. I did make a friend, Dave, on the descent. Caught him up just after Angleton, and we ran together down into Patterdale. But yeah, I left the checkpoint before him. He went to go and change his clothing layers, I believe. Went through my first checkpoint with nibbles. First ever time I've done that. What was on offer? Pickles. They didn't seem to have been very popular. In fact, looked pretty much untouched. Imagine nibbling on some pickles and then climbing Hell Valley. Anyway, plate of cheese. Again, it's not quite what I fancied. I am a massive cheese lover. I'd probably be about 2 stone lighter if it wasn't for the existence of cheese in the world. But it's not quite what I fancied just right then. They had to reboot my tracker. So I was an enforced stop at the nibble table. I had 2, maybe 3 little pieces of melon, which were delicious, actually. Okay. Andy's going to be furious that I'm not trying harder. So I guess I should crack on. Hey, Charlie. And you're on the back foot, listeners. Just through the Grisdale Town checkpoint. Onwards to Helvellyn. Forgot to give an update on Yellowcoat. Past Yellowcoat on High Street. Way back. And Dave is hot on my heels. He might catch me on this climb. Yeah, but I haven't seen Yellowcoat for a while. Oh, I am now descending. Just come through the hole in the wall. Heading back to Pasadena Hill. That has been a crazy time. Helvellyn was rammo nuts, man. People everywhere. And then to come down Swirl Edge. Oh, God. Man, people everywhere. That was quite intense. And then coming down the path. There's fewer people here, though. Thank goodness. Okay. Just come through Placeville. No, I haven't. Oh my God. Oh my God. I have not just come through Placeville. That's what's coming. Oh. I've just come through Patsdale for the second time. Oh, had a joyous wee in the toilet. Because Helvellyn was so ramo. I couldn't stop for a wee. There's just people everywhere. So that was beautiful. I splashed my face with cold water from the basin. And that was joyous. I groaned with delight. Unaware, there was a lady in the other toilet. One of the marshals. That was a bit awkward. More melon. Requested sun cream. They didn't have any. My legs are really stinging. And I wonder if they're sunburnt. Right. I am all alone. I don't know what happened to Dave. Dave, where are you? Anyway, I've never seen Dave again. Or Yellowcoat. I also passed another guy on the way up Helvellyn. He's just lying on the grass, having a minute. I've not seen him again either. Right, I've got to climb Placeville. Oh, come on. Placeville done. It was not pretty. But oh, my legs are gone. Right. hope to get this done. 12 hours. That was the optimistic, hopeful time. I'm now slightly behind that schedule. So now, let's see how close I can get. It feels really hard now. I haven't got the distance on my watch because I thought it would put me off to know how far I'd gone. So yeah, I don't know how far I've gone. I don't know how far I've got left. I just know that my legs hurt now. Hello. Hi. I'm through the Martindale Touch checkpoint. I'm on some tarmac, which makes my legs and hips hurt the best of times. Oh, noises. Cut. Next checkpoint is the finish. Oh, I just gotta get myself there. Oh, feels like a long way. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Charlie.
And on the back foot, listeners.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everyone.
We completed the Lakes Mountain 40. So, yeah, I limited the damage after the place fell situation. And finished in 12 hours 28. Was aiming for 12, so yeah. I never really recovered after the top of place fell, but I feel happy that it was the right side of 2.5 hours. We can round that down to 12, right? I reckon.
Right side of 12 and a half hours.
What did I say?
2.5 hours.
Oh no, it wasn't 2.5 hours. That's how long it took me to get up place fell. So yeah, top race. Joe Faulkner. How do you say his name? He's the organiser. Super low key, which is just how I like it. No razzmatazz. Tiniest start sign you've ever seen in your life, which I thought was gold. I didn't even hear him say go. He was just stood there, and then everyone just ran off.
I don't think he did. I think he was sort of stood there, and then he just, like, with the smallest flick of his finger, pointed up the road, and everyone set off.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that. Absolute gold. Yeah. Really tasty soup. People had said that the soup at the end was tasty. Stilton and broccoli soup. That is what you want after you've ran for 12 hours. That's what I wanted anyway. It was really good. So yeah, I would recommend a Nav 4 organised race.
Should we do a review of the route in the style of who is it does the... reviews of the race.
Oh, like up, down, up, down.
Yeah, like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that. For 12 hours. Go on then. Well, go on then. Andy needs to give his... Andy had a slightly different race to me. You've been entertained by my snippets when I should have been racing harder. Actually, it turns out I shouldn't have been racing harder. Because after I was like, oh, Andy's going to be furious that I'm not racing harder. I was like, okay, all right. Beans on Helvellyn, Fran. Well, beans on Helvellyn blew up. So, yeah. Anyway, I was having a lovely time until Helvellyn. Similar to Andy, I think.
Yeah.
Andy, over to you. You had a more exciting start.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So, Coach Fran had told me to keep my heart rate like under 150. So I did. Like, for the first, what, probably minute and a half. And then there was like three or four fellas at the front who looked like they were having a great time racing each other. So I went up to join them. And that was a lot of fun. Like all the way to High Street, which is about an hour and a half in. And then I think at that point I had a moment of sense. It started getting harder and I thought, oh, it's already getting harder and I'm only an hour and a half in. So I backed off a bit then, but potentially some of the damage was already done. But a lot of the fun had already been had. But it did mean that, yeah, the wheels came off a little bit. Got a bit of a sore knee, which is frustrating. Meant I was walking all the downhills. And yeah, took some good lines, chatted to a lot of people. When you start at the front and finish, you know, what was I, 13th, 14th, you get to chat to a lot of people, so that was nice. Yeah. Pretty pleased with how it went overall. Good race, yeah. I had carrot and coriander soup. They'd run out of that by the time you finished, Fran.
Oh, no, they offered me that. They offered me carrot and coriander.
Oh, right.
Who would choose carrot and coriander when there was broccoli and Stilton on offer?
Oh, no, because the alternative for me was leek and potato.
You didn't even get offered broccoli and Stilton.
No, they were saving that for you.
Saving that for the tail of the field.
Those that really need it.
Yeah, so never saw Dave again. Saw Yellow Coat again. And there was some excitement when Yellow Coat... I realise I never came back to this. There was some excitement when Yellow Coat overtook Green Backpack on High Street. Green Backpack, at the top of High Street, just walked off, like, in a random direction and went to sit down. So maybe Green Backpack was a hiker, or Green Backpack decided at that point they were done. Yeah. And then someone finished after me that I'd never seen, so... Yeah. Don't know. Don't know who he was. Maybe he was behind me the whole time.
Maybe you overtook him when you did that descending console thing.
There was no one behind me on Placeville. Anyway, this isn't interesting. A good race.
Good fun. Would recommend. 4.5 stars. Would get 5 stars if I didn't have a sore knee.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't give anything 5 stars, even if you like it.
Can you not? Oh.
It invalidates the whole system.
Does it? I'd give it 5.
Well,
more people should organise low-key races. It's not all about the razzmatazz. This is all.
Put it on the to-do list for Run Like a Haggis. Organise low-key race. No?
It's Chapel Top. That's pretty low-key.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that works.
All right. This is all.
Brilliant that, Fran Handley. Glad you enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing your experience with us. There's a bit there where Fran talked about giving it beans. And I had some ponderings when I was out running the other day. Hello. The sun is shining. It's a nice spring morning. You should probably cursing it, and it'll be shit weather for the next month, and I'm pretty tired, disturbing a deer and a pheasant. And there's one thing I'm not giving this run, and that is beans. And I'd like to understand that phrase a little bit more. When we're talking about giving something beans, are we talking about baked beans, coffee beans, kidney beans, haricot beans? I'm not sure. So this is a big subject for debate for me. I'd love people to get involved with it. And on the note of beans for your munching, I don't know if I would eat beans on the moor. I've heard that Nicky Spinks does. Is that even true? But at some point in my life, I stopped having a whole can. I think it was due to people making comments about how unhealthy my eating was. And I thought, maybe a whole can of beans isn't unhealthy. Or beans, the musical fruit. I thought that I'd reduce my noise output by dropping to half a tin. Now, when I went to see Josh Williams the other week, he just plonked 2 tins of beans in the saucepan, just like it was normal. And I had a whole tin the other day, and it was an absolute delight. And I was glad that Josh felt it was normal to have a whole tin, because I'm starting to think it is. Maybe it was unusual that I'd only have half a tin, save the other half for another time. Sounds like I'm saying huff. Weird. I guess I'm huffing and puffing up a hill. God, this segment's gone off. Right, so there you go. Coffee beans, baked beans,
half a tin of beans or a full tin of beans. Please, these are the things that keep me awake at night. Let me know your thoughts, please.
Now, what's incredible about that voice note, because it is obviously incredible, is I recorded that for you all before Will Boothman sent me him eating a baked bean wrap. So beans are in the on the back foot consciousness right now. And I know what else you might be thinking. There's been a lot of female voices on this podcast this week. You know, we stretched it out 2 weeks ago. We had Rose and Rachel May. Fran has been appearing, but yes, we've had Sarah, Rachel, Jamie. Rachel and Jamie's Munching on the Moors intro was lovely. I thought that the Paddington sandwich is quite clearly underrated and also greatly named. I know what you'll be thinking. Charlie's doing a wonderful job of getting people from all walks of life on the podcast. And I mean, I don't want to blow my own trumpet, but I've really topped it here. I've managed to get someone from Coventry on the podcast.
Hello, Charlie. It's about 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. I'm just heading up the northeast ridge of Great Dodd. Actually, is it a ridge? It's probably not well defined enough for that description. Probably a shoulder. I'd have to rely on your educated guys from the language department to sort that one out for us. It's a beautiful day, blue skies. If I sound a bit distracted, there's quite a disgruntled buzzard circling around me for the last 10 minutes, and I'm wondering if he's going to make a quick attack. I'm heading up over Great Dodd, Rays, Whiteside, Helvellyn, then we'll work it out from there. I might go down Swirral Edge, I might go over Dolly Wagon and down Grosdale. And just to quickly flip over into Munching on the Moors, it's a bit of a walk today as I'm racing again tomorrow. So I have got a great big bag full of artisan sausage rolls, which I picked up from T-Bay Services yesterday. And I've got some very interesting sounding wraps, which are cheese and venison salami. And of course, a good old slab of Kendall mint cake. Anyway, I'm supposed to be talking about the uphill trial on Skidder yesterday. I've been foul racing since about 2015. Probably done about 150 foul races since then. But as I'm the kind of despicable southerner that Bobby Gard's story thinks should be nowhere near a foul race, I also race on the track, the cross country and the road as well. Anyway, 2022, I did the English champs, did the Shropshire champs, did a few others, Welsh champs, track league, cross country league, road relays, and I got to the end of the year. I'd done 43 races in 52 weeks, and thought, this is no wonder I'm not getting any better. I'm not able to do any training. I was recovering from a race, then a few days taper, then into the next one. So I decided I should be a bit more focused. So last year I had a bit of a failed attempt at the Vet 40 category in the English Fell Champs. So I didn't manage to get a single point. Got to August, and then I focused towards the Brampton to Carlisle 10 miler, where I knocked off a little bit of a PB on the road. And like most foul runners, I've got strengths and weaknesses. So I'm comparatively decent going up, but I'm absolutely diabolical coming down. So I thought, rather than work on my weaknesses, I'd just forget about them altogether and start focusing on uphill racing. The conclusion being, this September, I'm going to go and do the World Masters uphill in the Pyrenees. So that brought me to the uphill trial yesterday. It was quite a different atmosphere to most foul races. The elite was massive compared to a normal foul race, even a championship foul race. There wasn't really a middle back pack. There were a lot of vests you wouldn't usually see at a foul race. I saw Leeds City, Aldershot, Farnham and District, myself from Coventry, Bristol and West, and many, many others. Another thing I noticed, usually when I go to a foul race, I cause quite a bit of merriment because I'm the only one doing a structured warm-up with drills and strides, so that gets a few comments. Yesterday, it was like the whole field were in the car park doing all that. And I'm no doubt Bobby Gard's story would be, he'd be apoplectic at that. I mean, that guy seems to think that all you do to warm up for a foul race is build a stone wall or herd some sheep or discuss what cake you're going to eat at the end. So he'd have had steam coming out of ears if he'd been there. Anyway, to the race, it was 4 miles and 3,000 feet. And I suppose you could split it into four roughly equal parts. So the first mile or so was quite an undulating roller coaster. That was in Dodwood in the forestry on the paths and tracks. Then that gave way to a steeper section where you hauled yourself up onto the Ullock Park Ridge. So you had roughly a mile to drag yourself up onto the ridge and then to get onto the first sort of main top, which I think is Ullock Pike, I'm not sure. Then you had perhaps another mile where you're undulating again across the top of the ridge over to Carlside. Then the final section, you drop off Carlside, a really short drop. Then you've got that tortuous climb up the scree slope on the side of Skiddaw, and then you've got a few hundred yards just up the summit ridge to the cairn. So as to the race, the standard was ridiculous. I mean, I'd say I'm a reasonable foul runner. I'd probably make the top 100 in the champs races. If I pick my races, a nice one at the end of the season, last champs race of the season, if it's somewhere like, say, Shropshire, I might even sneak a point or two. But today, yesterday I was genuinely worried about coming last. Despite all the training I've been doing. So I set off through the forestry, and that went well. There's probably 20 people or so behind me. I think there's about 80 starters. The men and women went off together. That's possibly my only slight complaint, because we all went off together. It was hard to see where we stood in the standings, really. Once I got through the forestry, started climbing up onto the ridge, so we hit the fell properly. I made up a couple of places there. A few people had gone off a bit hard and weren't able to continue running. The only trouble is, once you got onto the fell, you had gorse and bramble and all sorts either side of the path, and to take anyone over, it was all a bit debilitating. So eventually I just got into a rhythm of power walking up there, sort of in the train. That took us up to about the halfway point. From there, we then started having to run again over the ridge top. Again, a few people seemed to blow up there. I guess the change from the power walking back to running again, that knocked a few people down. But I was still very much at the back of the field. Then I got to Carlside, and I thought the only way I'm going to pick up any places is to run as much as that scree slope up Skiddaw as possible. So this is what all your training comes down to. I put my head down, tried to run as much as I can. Every time I looked up, the guys in front, they're still running. And I thought, I'm not catching anyone here. Eventually the legs gave in and I just had to power walk up. Finally pulled myself up onto the up onto the summit ridge of Skiddaw, so probably 300 or 400 metres to go. I turn round, there's a guy in a Scottish vest absolutely haring after me. I thought, give over, mate. I'm knackered. I really don't need a sprint finish. So I tried to pick up the pace. Every time I turned around, he was gaining on me. Thankfully, I held him off by about 5 seconds. I weren't about to lose another place because, to be quite honest, I didn't know how many guys were behind me, and I certainly wouldn't have wanted to finish last. So I think Joe Stewart won the men's race from Salford, and I think Scout Adkin won the ladies' race, which I probably would have predicted at the start. I mean, they smashed up the mountain running scene last year on the continent, so not really a surprise. Not seen any results yet. As to my own performance, I don't know entirely where I finished. I was expecting it to take 50 minutes. I took about 50 minutes and 30 seconds, so that was a fairly good guess. I did take a peek over the shoulder of one of the summit marshals. Oh shit, I've just fell in a bog. Bastard, it's freezing. I think I finished around 60th, possibly in the high 50s. Fucking hell. And I think there was about 80 started. In terms of the men's race, oh dear, I don't know. There might have been somewhere between 6 and 10 guys behind me at the absolute most. I sort of found myself, if you think of it like a cycle race, I was right at the back of the peloton where people were strung out fairly evenly. And sort of after me, there was a massive drop-off where people were only coming in every couple of minutes. So I was firmly towards the back end. It was an incredibly high-quality race, but there's not many uphill races for me to tune my skills on. So that was that for the race. Fantastic. I'm sure the views were fantastic. I only looked up once and I fell over, so I didn't make that mistake again. Coming back down, yes, it was very, very beautiful. You asked me in your message to discuss how Keswick compares to the fine city of Coventry. Now, I love Keswick, and I actually spent a bit of time living in the Northern Lakes a couple of years ago. I think Keswick's fantastic. It's very finely situated. I did think it's looking a little bit run down. I must have counted 5 or 6 boarded up or empty shops, which I'm sure I've never seen before. You see it all over the country. Didn't really expect to see it in Keswick, but there you go. One thing Keswick did let itself down compared to Coventry, there was a distinct lack of gang warfare, gunshots. Keswick, you really need to up your game if you're going to match Coventry on that front. Anyway, I need to start walking again and watch out for these bogs. So I'll hopefully be back after the inter-counties tomorrow. I do somewhat think I've shot my bolt yesterday, so I'm not entirely looking forward to tomorrow. But we'll see how it goes. See ya.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you for bringing the first official beef to the podcast, your beef with Bobbygard's story. I mean, I don't know what my role is here. I'm not trying to stir things. I'm just going to just let things play out for the audience. Take a back seat, stay on the back foot, and I'll leave you guys to that.
Hello, Charlie. Back again. It's about 8:45 on Sunday evening. I'm back in the People's Republic of Coventry after a fantastic weekend racing up in the Lake District. I will try and refrain from saying quite as much as I did on the last recording. Try not to sound quite so much like a badly educated Premier League footballer. Anyway, in some very minor running news, it was the London Marathon today, and I see that Emil Caress not only got on the podium, but he
ticked off the Olympic qualifying time, which is absolutely fantastic, as did Mohamed Mohamed from Southampton AC, I think. So that's very good news. I actually bumped into Emil Keres at the Yorkshire Three Peaks race on the top of Wernside last year, which was the week after last year's London Marathon, where he ran 2:08. And I did try and talk him into running at Chapel Fell Top, but he gave me some bollocks about recovering from just breaking the European 10-mile record, so I doubt he's ever going to amount to anything. Anyway, the Intercounties. So I've got a bit of a patchy relationship with the Intercounties. Started in 2016, I actually entered the trial race for the Warwickshire team, and the instruction was to come in the top four, which I did. And not only did I not get selected, they just ran with three runners. So that was a bit of a knockback. A couple of years after that, I actually got a vest for the Intercounties up the Nab in the Peak District. But in my wisdom, I entered a 100-mile ultra the weekend before, which I DNF'd after about 30 miles, and then didn't even start the Intercounties, so that was a total disaster. At the end of 2019, I actually took over the running of the Warwickshire team, and I put together a bit of a crack team. I won't mention any names, but we had some 14-minute 5K runners. We had a chap who's been on the podium in the National Cross. I had a chap who's ran for New Zealand at the World Mountain Champs, and I even tried to pinch Matt Elkington from Cumbria, because he's a Warwickshire lad. He gave me some cock and bull about giving his priority to Cumbria. I mean, does he want to run with a county that's going to get honours, or does he want to piss about running for Cumbria, I ask you. But anyway, I never got to field that team because COVID hit. So the 2 years I was manager of Warwickshire, we didn't field a team. Last year, I finally got a vest and ran at Sedba on that very fine and fast course. This year, I was actually reserved this year because of my aforementioned race on Friday. So I was second counter for Warwickshire last year, but I elected to be a reserve. Inevitably, someone dropped out last week, so I found myself running. I must admit, I didn't prepare too well for this race, because obviously I raced on Sunday. Then yesterday I set out on a little walk over the Dodds and Helvellyn. I ended up walking 24 miles and about 6,000 feet, which I don't think many coaches would be endorsing that. And I could certainly feel it today in the warm-up. Anyway, the course today, probably quite familiar to a lot of Fell racers. It follows the first mile or two of the Skidder Fell race. So you go up on a path around the back of Latrig, and then before you get to Latrig car park, you actually switch back on yourself and up the zigzags onto Latrig itself, over the summit down to the car park. Then you've got a bit of a flatter section where you contour around the base of Lonscale Fell. Then you hit the fence and turn straight up Lonscale Fell. And once you reach the top of that, you've got quite a tough and energy-sapping section across the top of Lonscale, across the top of Jenkin Hill, which brings you to the bottom of Skidder Little Man. You've then got a couple of rocky climbs up onto Little Man, and then you turn around and you fly straight down the tourist path back to Fitz Park. I can't comment too much on the front end of the race, because obviously that was way out in front of me, but I know the race went off hell for leather. It was a ridiculous pace out of Fitz Park. It's like a 10K cross country. The good thing from my point of view was that the four Warwickshire lads we had, we were all quite evenly matched, so we were looking for quite a decent battle. So it was all fairly uneventful up round the back of Latrig, up over the top there. I settled into second counter, a chap about 10 seconds behind me and a chap about 10 seconds in front. And it sort of stayed that way until the bottom of Lonscale Pike, when we hit the first proper hands-on-knees climb. Now, I quite enjoyed this section and picked up a few places. I got a back-level pegging with our first counter, and I tried to stick the boot in him halfway up this climb. I decided to start running a bit of psychological tactics. which gained me about 20 yards, but unfortunately it made me feel sick for about the next 15 minutes. And we hit that section across the top of Lonsgate. Now, I expected this just to be like a bit of a footpath and quite flat, but it was quite rutted, quite boggy, and it was very undulating. And that brought us to the bottom of Skidder Little Man. Now, I'd been in a bit of a battle with John Hunt from Dark Peak. Now, it is a proper foul runner, isn't he? I've had some fantastic battles over the years. He loves a chat when you're running. He was encouraging me going up that climb, even though he beat me to the top. He was shouting me on and I was chatting to him. Yeah, fantastic. Anyway, reached the top of Skidder Little Man as first counter for Warwickshire, but the chap in second on my tail, he can actually descend and like me, so I had to let him go, and he probably took 2 or 3 minutes out of me down to the finish. So my battle really was for second. So I thought, I've got to try and lose this chap going down Jenkin Hill. And I must have, to my credit, I probably put a couple of minutes into him. But then once you come off Jenkin Hill, you go up a little rise and then a flat section to get back to Lattrick Car Park. And that just knocked the stuffing out of me. All my fatigue came, all Friday's tiredness hit me. And I was staggering all over the place, going round the back of Lattrick. I finally hit the road, and you've only got probably half a mile to go then. I turned round, and it was a bloody action replay of Friday. My club mate were 10 seconds behind me, and he was absolutely booting it. And I thought, oh, God, I've got another sprint finish that I don't want. So I sort of rallied my jelly legs into action up the road. Then you turn into Fitz Park. There's an annoyingly long section of path, and then horror of horrors, it's an uphill finish to get up to that little rise above the back of the pavilion, and I just held him off, and I just managed to sort of stagger out of the way and collapse off to the side. So I was second counter. I was fairly pleased with that. I think the race was won by Chris Jones. I'm not sure what club he runs for, but I know he's Scotland East. In the top four, you had Jacob Adkin, another chap from Scotland, Joe Stewart. So three of the top four were actually the top three on Friday night. That's unbelievable how they can knock that sort of performance out twice in 3 days. Obviously, the ladies' race started 15 minutes behind us, so I didn't see any of that. But Scout Adkin come absolutely flying past me about a mile from the end. So she's obviously had a good run and won by quite a long way. As to the team standings, all I know is Scotland North won it. I'm not sure who the first English team were, but I think it may have been Yorkshire or Derbyshire. As to our own performance of Warwickshire, well, we probably somewhere in the teens. We might have taken a bit of a local scalp and beaten Shropshire. So as soon as the result's out and that's confirmed, I'll be straight on the Shropshire foul running page to discuss that one, because they've actually got some fouls and we haven't. My last comment, I think Bobby Gard's story would be absolutely raging if he'd been at the race today. There was vets from Devon, Cornwall, Surrey, Sussex, Essex, Warwickshire, Worcestershire. And I don't think he would have liked that at all. I just hope no one from Cumbria had the brass neck to go and run the London Marathon today. But I'll say no more about that. Anyway, thanks for giving me the chance to waffle on about these couple of races. I need to go and have something to eat before I pass out. So I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Peter. Well done at Intercounties and good luck in your uphill adventures. Well done to everyone who raced at Intercounties. I know it's a week ago now. It's taken me a little bit of time getting this one out. I am not sure of the format for next week's episode. It might just be an on the bob foot. It's been a big week running wise, so I could just really lengthen that one out for you. Go into fine details about all my meals and my training. I'm hoping I do have some guests before the actual Bob Graham itself, which is only 2 weeks away. Well, actually, hopefully I would have finished it by this point, as I'm just finishing this off on Sunday morning. I've got a little news announcement, and all I can say is have a great week, because this is Sunday. So if you hear this today, I hope you have a fantastic Sunday. But if it kickstarts your week on a Monday, have a great one. And I look forward to sending you the next episode.
That was the podcast. We talked about running. We talked about other things too. Thank you for joining. We hope you enjoyed it. That was On the Back Foot.
Queen kind of followed me around on my European tour last year. Not literally. There wasn't some guy with big curly hair telling me to save the Badgers. And I've always liked Xavier Bowie. So I'm going to play you out with a little favourite of mine. One last, very last go. Mbappe, Mbappe, Mbappe. Pressure pushing down on me, pressing down on you, no man has fall. Under pressure that burns a building down, splits a family in two, puts people on the streets. Mbappe, Mbappe. It's the terror of knowing what this world is about. Watching some good friends screaming, let me out. Pray tomorrow takes me higher and higher. Pressure on people, people on the streets. Dale, Dale, okay. Chipping around, put my brains on the floor. These are the days, it never rains but it pours. E-ba-ba, 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 ba. People on streets, da-ba-dee-da-dee. People on streets, da-ba-dee-da-bee-da-bee-bop. It's a terror of knowing what this world is about. Watching some good friends screaming, let me out. Pray tomorrow takes me higher and higher. Pressure on people, people on the streets. Turned away from it all like a blind man. Sat on a fence, but it don't work. Keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn. Why? Love, 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 love. Insanity laughs under pressure. We're cracking and we give ourselves one more chance. Why can't we give love that one more chance? Why can't we give love, 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 give love? 'Cause love's such an old-fashioned word, and love dares you to care for the people on the edge of the night, and love dares you to change your way of caring about ourselves. This is our last dance. This is our last dance. This is ourselves. Under pressure. under pressure. Pressure. I am available for gigs if you email on the backfootpod@gmail.com. As long as you don't care that I'm shit, because I don't.